you remember the old TV show called Fear Factor? Think about that for a second. Remember Fear Factor? It was hosted by a guy named Joe Rogan. And it aired on NBC from 2001 until 2006. They tried to revive it in 2011, but it tanked. And then they tried a third time in 2017 on MTV. Every single episode was filled with tests and challenges to all the contestants. And some were pretty grisly. They started with a physical challenge. Then the second one was a mental challenge for all the contestants. And lastly, an extreme action type of challenge. It was a show that pushed it to the limit, to be sure. But when you think about physical, mental challenges, we have to go all the way back to the beginning. What are you talking about, Father John? Got to go back to Genesis chapter 3. In chapter 3, the serpent pushes the woman by challenging her physically, talking about eating, and then her memory, and then her ability to resist an extreme challenge. He said to her, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." He jumps on this and her messing up of the words because she added something that God never said. You must not touch it? Well, you see, she wasn't there when God spoke. Let me remind you about that. What God did say when he spoke to the man. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, God spoke to the man. He said, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you surely will die." He didn't say the tree in the center of the garden. And he didn't say, if you touch it. She wasn't there, so she was only taking what the man had said to her. He did not say. So the serpent says, "You surely will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." That's Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. The mental challenge is unique in that the serpent is offering something in a way that is calling God a liar. What happens next is truly uncanny. This is the extreme challenge. Because, and I quote, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." You know, it's funny. We often say, well, Eve then went to her husband and, you know, talked him into it. He was right there. He is just as guilty as she was. The serpent planted the seed and both of them ate it. She saw it, ate it, and gave it to the man who was with her. The succumbing to the temptation was by both of them. They failed the extreme challenge and in doing so caused the sin of disobeying Almighty God. And as they say, the rest is history. In today's Holy Gospel from Luke chapter 4, after Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, we find Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, as the Gospel says, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Now remember, this was a man born of Mary, and he had hunger and thirst just like us. Satan's at it again, only instead of appearing as a serpent, he comes to Jesus as himself, because he could not hide from Almighty God. He tries his same old game of fear factor with Jesus, going to the physical, and then the mental challenge, and finally the extreme. He tries to capitalize on the fact that Jesus is tired and hungry. In the first challenge or temptation, Satan is asking Jesus to change stones into bread. This temptation really seemed like a good idea to him. To feed what would most probably would have been the immediate desire of anyone who was fasting. Food. Jesus was being presented with an instant want instead of what a person truly needed. Sure, food would have been really satisfying to him, but Jesus knew that the world needed so much more than food. They needed his spiritual food. They would need to hear his teaching, not because he enticed them with food, but because he offered them life, eternal life. And then came the second temptation, which was even more dramatic. The devil asked Jesus to worship him, and he would give Jesus authority over all the kingdoms of the earth. Let's get this straight here. The father of lies said that he would surrender control and that Jesus would be in charge of every kingdom on the earth. The father of lies is trying to tell the king of the universe, I'm going to give you all of this. Like he might even turn over all of that to Jesus, right? He said Jesus would then be the one who would rule every country. All he had to do was acknowledge that the devil had control of the earth ever since that challenge in the Garden of Eden. You see where I'm going with this? Jesus knew that he would change the course of history in a far more important, personal, and dramatic way with what would be coming up in just 3 years. He himself would suffer and die on a cross, and then his heavenly Father would raise him from the dead, defeating the devil's control of this earth and over sin and death. Jesus was tempted to take the easy way out, to avoid the cross, and then he could make the changes to the world all by himself instead of working through his church. Sometimes this temptation is very difficult for us to overcome, and it's easier to just try to do things ourselves. Sometimes it's easier to do that than it is to trust instead of fully trusting God's plan for our lives. Now comes the big one. The third temptation or challenge was the most dramatic and extreme. Taking Jesus to the top of the temple, the highest part of the temple in Jerusalem. And the devil told Jesus, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. In other words, dive off the temple tower and let God the Father perform a dramatic rescue mission. This would show that God would be manipulated to do whatever we want and need, sort of like a short order cook, night and day. And you ask yourself, wouldn't that be appealing to huge groups of people who like to hear what God will make us successful and happy when we ask? How many like to take the easy way out and have God serve us instead of us serving God? Some folks would love to bargain with God. Have you ever heard of that? People making deals with God. If you do this, then I'll do that. And if you do this and this, then I'll do this and this. It makes us seem like we're the boss. And in essence, we sell God a bill of goods. How truly blessed we are that Jesus would have none of that. And instead, Jesus' response to Satan was absolutely crystal clear. Listen to these words. He said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You see, nothing was going to make Jesus avoid his mission on our behalf. He gave his all for the ones he loves. All of us. We need to remember that none of us ever has to do this life alone. I want to encourage you that Jesus said on a mountain in Galilee after he had risen from the dead, he said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. The last words of the Gospel of Matthew. You see, Jesus is promising each one of us that you're not in your mission alone. He's in it with you and me. Some might say, oh, Matthew chapter 28, that's the Great Commission. Well, I like to say that that's the Great Commission, based on Jesus' words right there. And surely I will be with you even to the very end of the age. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. I want you to hear the words that Jesus spoke before he ascended to the Father from the Mount of Olives. These were the last recorded words of Jesus on this earth. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. My brothers and sisters, don't give in to the temptation to not share Jesus with others. You see, Jesus is right there with them and with you, and his Holy Spirit is strengthening and protecting you. There should be no fear factor at all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.